Hello and welcome to Starter Set. My name is Ed Sylvester and I stand here alone on this hill, which can only mean that once again we are doing a campaign chronicles. So we finished off our arc of miscellaneous marvels and we're sure that that will return at some point because undoubtedly there are bits of the D&D 5th edition world that me and Sam have missed, so we'll probably revisit that and bring you some new bits and bobs as we go through. But for now, we continue our story starring Lagatha, the human rogue, Maelstrom Wins, the tabaxi fighter, Kilvir, the paladin tiefling, Bryn, the sorcerer drow, and Wendy, the firbolg druid. If you remember last time, the crew had just entered an underground city, found an interesting bar, which technically was just a bit of wood over some barrels and a gnome selling booze, a rather beleaguered cart driver who had basically had all of his gear stolen and was knocked unconscious thanks to a drow sleeping dart. So, without further ado, let's get back to the action. Finkus groaned in Bryn's arms, his eyelids fluttering, but he did not wake. The crowd around the five of them was starting to disperse, but the crew quickly realized it was nothing to do with the fact that they were there. Shouts were echoing in the streets around them and getting closer by the second. Bryn looked up to Maelstrom, Lagatha, Wendy, and Kilvir, with more than a hint of desperation in their eyes. "Ideas?" he asked as the voices drew closer still. "We don't know the territory. We can't stay and fight, whoever this is," Maelstrom muttered, sheathing his sword. "Then we run," said Kilvir firmly.
"Where to, and is he coming with us?"
Wendy asked, nodding at the unconscious Finkus Andrews. "He's our only lead, so yes, he's coming," snapped Lagatha. "Now get him on his feet." Wendy bent down, helping Bryn lift the unconscious human up and onto her shoulders. There were a few ways out of the town square they'd found themselves in, but opted for the street furthest away from the sound of the voices. Taking off, Wendy slightly slower than the rest, and they heard the voices drawing closer now.
"Another shipment's been taken! That driver's gonna get a kick in this time!"
The crew kept running, taking lefts and rights at random, as the voices kept following them along with the sound of the footsteps that they just couldn't shake. They rounded another corner with Maelstrom and Lagatha leading the line when they careered into a group of small boys, sending them stumbling to the ground.
"Oi, watch it!"
they shouted indignantly, but Maelstrom bared his teeth, tail flicking and hissing at them. The urchins soon got to their feet, and one of them using Maelstrom's tail as a rope to get up before running in the opposite direction. Lagatha flicked her keen eyes around the alleyway they found themselves in and noticed that at the opposite end of the dirty back alley was a small group of finely dressed men and women. She nodded to them and Maelstrom smirked, almost reading her mind, as Wendy, Kilvir, and Bryn appeared behind them. Lagatha ran the length of the alleyway, startling the group as she ran. "Please, we need help. We're being chased and..." She stopped as the two of the women turned to face her, both dressed in fine velvet robes that were fastened at the neck and barely hiding the lacy undergarments they were wearing underneath.
Oh,
Lagatha thought quick before reaching into her belt, producing a handful of gold coins. "Here, 20 gold. Take us to wherever you work. There's more to come if you can hide us well." The pair looked at each other and then to their male friends and nodded, beckoning them all to follow. Lagatha smiled and followed them closely with Kilvir, Bryn, Maelstrom and a heavy-breathing Wendy still carrying Finkus's limp form, bringing up the rear. And so they set off through the streets again, the voices always close behind to them, but at least now they had a destination of sorts. They found themselves outside a fancy two-story building with saloon-style doors and shutters across the windows. From inside they could hear music and voices. A lavish sign on the outside read Madame Delnett's. The crew exchanged glances as they approached the doors and entered the building, a wall of noise hitting them. Upon entry, they were greeted by a large female Goliath, crouched low over a comically small stool, her head and her height still pushing towards the ceiling rafters, even though she was sat down. She was dressed in a leather vest and trousers and was leaning on a large club, which Lagatha noted was actually an old mahogany banister. She leaned forward as they entered, opened her mouth to speak, but one of the guys pushed past them and slid 3 gold pieces into the Goliath's hands. The Goliath looked from the gold to the girl and then to the crew. "Put them in number 4. It's not the cleanest, but I doubt he'll mind," the Goliath grunted, cracking her knuckles as they bustled past her and began picking their way through the crowds. The room was large, with doors leading off in every direction. To one corner, there was a bar, behind which a half-elf was mixing drinks. There were tables and chairs too, but none of them seemed to match each other, let alone the peeling faux Georgian paint on the walls or the Wild West-type mirror, cracked, of course, that ran along the wall behind the bar. They made their way towards a door with an upside-down number 4 hung on it. Wendy stooped low as they entered a small, dark room with a few chairs at one end.
"Well, it's better than nothing," she commented,
heaving the unconscious Finkus forward and missing the chairs, sending him sprawling onto the floor with a dull thud. He didn't even stir. The door closed behind them and the crew found themselves alone for the first time in a while. "Charming," commented Kilvir, looking around. Now the door was closed, they realized there was light pouring into the room through small holes drilled in the walls to their left and right as they faced each other. A semi-rhythmic thudding was echoing through one wall. Pressing his eye to one of the holes, Bryn jerked his head back suddenly, eyebrows raised. "Charming indeed," he said, wide-eyed. Maelstrom pressed his eye to the hole for a moment and then withdrew. "I doubt that costs 20 gold. Lagatha snorted, and then began to laugh, so much so that she had to stifle herself by covering her mouth. The others followed suit.
We shouldn't we? Kilvir said, nodding to the door they'd come through.
I mean, he'll be fine here for the time being, he nodded at Finkus. Probably think he's died and gone to heaven, Maelstrom intoned, opening the door and wandering outside. Come on, I need a drink, and not one served off a plank of wood. He made his way towards the bar and sat on a stool.
"Welcome to Madame Delnett's, sir. What can I get for you this fine day?"
Something strong, replied Maelstrom, sliding a gold across the bar. "Just a drink, though, yes? I'll not do much for that," the elf smirked, taking the gold piece. "I'd be careful with that tongue," Maelstrom snarled, shifting slightly to motion the sword on his lap. "One mead it is," the elf smiled and began preparing a drink. Lagatha, Bryn, Kilvir and Wendy had made their way to a table at the rear of the room, where they could see the entrance and the door to the room number 4.
"What was all that back there?" Wendy said loudly, shaking her head. "Can we not have one sort of interaction that actually goes well? I mean, all we wanted to do was deliver a letter."
"The light of Pelor guides us in unfamiliar ways, Wendy," murmured Kilvir, sitting back in his chair. "Not much light down here by the looks of it," commented Lagatha, her eyes flicking towards the two women that had brought them there, as they approached their table, with an older woman in a high-collared lace tunic between them. As the group reached the table, they made to stand, but the older woman shook her head and motioned for them to stay seated. She, however, remained standing.
"Good evening. My name is Madame Delnett," she said curtly.
She had white hair tied up in a tight bun, with not a button or brooch out of place from the neck of her tunic to her heeled boots on her feet. She continued, "Juliet and Anna here tell me you paid up front for entrance in a room, and there is an unconscious man in my best viewing room, and that you were followed here by a group of the Kappa's men. Would you mind telling me why I shouldn't have Gale kick you out of here in this instance?" She nodded to the female Goliath by the door. They shared a collective gulp, but to their surprise, it was Wendy who spoke up first.
"Please, Madame Delnett, have pity. We were lost, and then the man in room 4 was attacked, and these men were shouting about a shipment going missing, and we didn't have anywhere else to go, and, these ladies were kind enough to bring us here. It's a really nice place. Never been anywhere with, like, a viewing room before," she finished lamely.
Madame Delnett raised one eyebrow, the corner of her mouth curling slightly upwards for a split second.
"Quite a story, and quite a teller. I've never actually entertained a firbolg before," she considered them for a moment. "Anna and Juliet will be your escorts whilst you are here. They are here to protect me and to entertain you in that order. Make no mistake, whilst you are here, your gold is the only thing keeping you safe. Once that is gone, so are you."
And with that, she turned on her heel and began marching across the barroom towards the door. As their eyes followed, they looked past her and saw 3 large, brutish men dressed in battle-worn leather armor, each one adorned with the same badges showing rows of sharp teeth. Shit. muttered Lagatha, already looking for another way out of the place, but didn't need to worry. Madame Delnett was already at the door, and Gale had stooped down to listen to her intently. There was a pause and a nod from the Goliath, before she stood up and swung the banister club at one of the men, making contact with a sickening crack, sending him flying backwards through the saloon door. His two friends exchanged nervous glances and then began backing away slowly. The bar fell silent for a moment as Madame Delnett turned to address the room at large. "Didn't tip their girls last week," she said sternly, before walking towards a flight of spiral stairs that led to a second floor. The barroom chatter rose up again quickly, and soon it was as if nothing had happened. In the meantime, Maelstrom had joined them back at the table, carrying a tray of drinks, while Anna and Juliet was also sat down either side of Lagatha.
"So, ladies, been working long?"
Wendy asked, smiling politely and eyeing their fine lace. "I've been here maybe 10 years, said Anna in a monotone voice. "Juliet here is still wet behind the ears." She smiled at her friend, who nodded and shrugged. "Not much over half a year. It's nice, though. Madame Delnett keeps us very safe."
"I like your outfit," commented Wendy, leaning over.
"Yes, finest lace for the finest girls," Anna commented before throwing looks of seduction towards Kilvir, Bryn and Maelstrom in turn. The men averted their gazes and stood up casually as they could. We're going to check on Fincus," said Kilvir quickly, and they all made for the room, nodding to Wendy and Lagatha. "Well, seen as we have coin, and that's why you're here," said Lagatha, "I was wondering if you two and anyone else fancied some work on the side. We need intelligence. Eyes on the street. Well, because you saw who was chasing us." Anna and Juliet nodded, and Anna spoke first. "I know some fine young men and women here. They would be more than happy to earn a little extra coin. Juliet herself could actually use some time outside of this place. I could also use some pampering for my friend here," said Lagatha, patting Wendy's arm. "She hauled that poor fella across town on her back like a true hero, and I was wondering if, well, you could help." Juliet looked to Anna, who nodded curtly. Lagatha smiled and slid 10 more gold across the table to them. Anna slid it onto her lap, smiled slightly at Wendy. "Room 10 is free upstairs." And with that, Juliet rose, along with Wendy, and guided her to the room. Anna smirked, watching Juliet leave before turning back to Lagatha. "You would do well to make your payments more discreet. Too much gold, even here, will likely attract attention. I'd hate to have to ask Gale to scoop your bodies out of the gutter the moment you left," she said curtly. Meanwhile, in room 4, Bryn, Maelstrom, and Kilvir were sitting around the sleeping form of Fincus Andrew. "This place is quite something," commented Kilvir, running a hand through his hair. "Not this place, but the whole city. Who's this Kappa and how are they so powerful? And who was following us earlier? The shapes in the mist." He shook his head. "It's unsettling to be too far from the light, too far from Pelor himself." "More to the point," interrupted Bryn, "how are there dark elves everywhere down here? Whoever Kappa is, or whoever he's annoyed at, they should have some serious backup." They fell silent, muffled voices and giggles leaking through the peepholes in the walls. Maelstrom lowered his head to check if Fincus was still breathing for a moment. "Yeah, we are far from home, all of us. I think we may need to lay low here. Maybe organise some lookouts since everyone, everyone, is for sale here." They all nodded. "With that in mind, how much coin have you got?" asked Bryn. Maelstrom reached into his coin purse and paused before swearing loudly. He lifted the purse to show them a small slit across the bottom. It was completely empty. "When did that happen?" asked Bryn as Maelstrom pushed one furry finger through the hole and swore again.
"I don't know. The urchins.
The ones Lagatha and I ran into on the way here," he growled, his tail swishing behind him. He checked his other pocket and then banged his fist against the wall.
"My eyeglass is gone as well."
The giggles and moans subsided from beyond the wall.
"Don't worry, carry on as you were," called out Kilvir.
Bryn shook his head.
"Well, that's one less lookout, eh?
Don't worry, there's always more gold, and we just keep our heads down like you said."
"Come on,"
grunted Maelstrom, rolling his eyes. "Let's go and see the others, leave Fincus to enjoy the show." He opened the door and headed out into the barroom again. just in time to see Wendy walking proudly down the spiral staircase. Her old clothes had been replaced with fine lace that had somehow had managed to fit her more than ample body, whilst also bizarrely flowing behind her. Her fur and hair had been scrubbed and pulled back into an elegant bun with strands of hair curling down to frame her face. She beamed down towards her friend. Halfway down, Wendy caught the sight of Kilvir, Bryn and Maelstrom, all of whom were staring at her with their mouths completely open.
"Finest lace for the finest girls," she boomed at them across the bar before making her way to the table,
people nodding and raising the glasses in her direction as she went. "Like I said, heads down, nice and quiet," muttered Bryn with a smirk as he passed Maelstrom. Is this week's episode of Campaign Chronicles. As always, join us next week where we have something new in store for you. A new series of shows called We Cast Sending, where we speak with various individuals from the D&D community about their experiences, what they do within the community, and how they enjoy the game. Roll well, and we will see you next week. Goodbye!